We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Thank you, and greetings, my friends. We're indeed pleased to have you in our great international audience in many parts of the world. And it pleases me so very much to hear from you. And today, we continue the discussion of this subject, saved by calling on the name of the Lord. In the Bible, we are given the precious promise that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Concerned students of the Bible must recognize that there are two parts to salvation, the divine part and the human part. Man cannot do it all. God has not done it all. The calling is to be done by man. He is active in the matter and not passive, as some have taught so erroneously. God, in His love, kindness, and mercy, has provided the plan that permits man to call upon Him and be saved. God does the saving. But man is to avail himself of the plan and means for his salvation. Yes, this is done by calling on the name of the Lord. Since those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it is bound to follow from this logical principle that everything that is demanded of man to obtain this salvation is involved in our calling upon the name of the Lord. Now, my friends, hear me. Are you listening? Your preacher may not be preaching it that way, but your Bible teaches it that way. We must remember that our allegiance to the Lord is far more important than our allegiance to any man in this world. There is no contradiction between what Peter taught in Acts 2:21 and what Jesus Christ taught in Mark 16:16. Inspiration undergirds both statements. In Mark 16:16, we have the Great Commission, under which the apostles were functioning when it was declared in Acts 2:21, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is what the Bible says in these two important and comprehensive verses. Listen. Mark 16:16, Jesus declared, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." Peter the apostle in Acts 2:21 declared, "And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But my friends, do you observe any similarity between these two statements? I'm sure that you do. Both statements contain the expression, "shall be saved." These three words in the English rendering, "shall be saved," come from just one expression or word in the original Greek. The same Greek word that Jesus used in Mark 16:16 is exactly the same word that Peter used in Acts 2:21. Is this not a striking significance? Indeed it is. What Jesus was promising in Mark 16:16 is exactly and precisely what Peter promised in Acts 2:21. Jesus promised salvation in Mark 16:16. The Apostle Peter promised salvation in Acts 2:21. But neither one promised salvation on an unconditional basis without specific commands to be obeyed. In both statements, there are conditions imposed. Jesus promised salvation to the baptized believer. He said that the one who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's in Mark 16:16. This, my friend, surely is conditional salvation. Peter declared that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he imposed condition for his Pentecostal audience, saying, and listen carefully, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." This is also conditional salvation. My friends, I'm sure that you are familiar with the simple principle that things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says that belief plus baptism equals salvation. In Acts 2:21, Peter says that calling on the name of the Lord equals salvation. Since both statements equal to or add up to salvation, then the belief and baptism of Mark 16:16 are equal to calling upon the name of the Lord in Acts 2:21. An indisputable conclusion. Also, The calling upon the name of the Lord in Acts 2:21 is equal to the belief and baptism of Mark 16:16. The Apostle Peter was speaking by the authority of Christ under the Great Commission when he promised salvation to those who would call upon the name of the Lord, as recorded in Acts 2:21. The Apostle certainly knew that Jesus, his Master, had promised salvation only to those who would believe and be baptized, as we read in Mark 16:16. The Apostle could not be loyal to the author of the Great Commission and promise salvation on terms less than those or more than those imposed by our Lord Himself. Therefore, to call upon the name of the Lord, as in Acts 2:21, means to believe and to be baptized as commanded in Mark 16:16. This is a scriptural, inevitable conclusion. Now, this is exactly why we suggested earlier in this study that calling upon the name of the Lord is not simply saying, Jesus, save me. It is not just to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is not to raise one's hand at a given signal and signify that one desires to be saved from his past sins, although honest and sincere such a person might be. It is not to sign a pledge card giving one's life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or simply asking somebody to pray for you. It is not to lay your hands on the radio or bow before the TV. It is not to turn on the headlights of one's car at a stipulated moment, or honk the car horn in response to a cleverly worded bumper sticker message. Did you ever read anything like that in the Bible in your life? Impossible, unless you put it there. God didn't. My friends, I say, are you listening? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of the living God? Have you repented of your sins? Upon your confession of your faith in the risen Redeemer, have you been immersed in water by the authority of Christ for, in order to, unto, the remission of your sins? If not, then according to such passages as Acts 2:21, Mark 16:16, and Acts 2:38, you have not correctly called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And if you're not calling upon the name of the Lord by gospel obedience, truly you must understand that you have not been saved. These are imperative matters, and we bid you give honest and proper consideration to them. Calling on the name of the Lord is essential to salvation, but calling on the name of the Lord means more than saying, Lord, Lord, save me. My friends, one of the best examples, and for sure, God-approved example, is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. There are three chapters in the book of Acts revealing the conversion of Saul. There are Acts 9, which is Luke's account, Acts 22, which is Paul's account on the Jerusalem stairway, and Acts chapter 26, which is also Paul's account that he presented to Agrippa. In Acts 22:16, we read the report of the sermon that came to Saul from Ananias. Now listen carefully. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. On the road to Damascus, the Lord had already informed Saul, arise and go to the city, and there shall be told what you must do, something that is absolutely imperative. Whatever Saul was told to do was the Lord's will, and whatever he was told to do was to be saved by calling on the Lord's name. Throughout this study, we have affirmed that calling upon the name of the Lord for the aged sinner does not refer to prayer. It refers to gospel obedience. The statement made to the penitent Saul adds conclusive evidence to this position. Saul was in the process of becoming a Christian. He was not yet a Christian, as Ananias came to him. He was yet in his sins. He had not done what the Lord had appointed for men to do in order to obtain remission of sins. It should be remembered that the Lord had told Saul, arise and enter into the city, and that it shall be told what thou must do. You'll read that in verse 6 of Acts 9. That was 3 days before Ananias came to him with instructions as to what he must do. No doubt about it, the Bible teaches that whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says that Saul was saved by calling on the name of the Lord. But Saul was not saved at this particular point. Therefore, he had not yet called upon the name of the Lord in the Bible sense of obtaining salvation. Yes, prior to the coming of Ananias, the preacher, he had conversed with the Lord on the Damascus Road, but this did not constitute calling on the name of the Lord and being saved. He had referred to Jesus as Lord, and yet he was unsaved. He evidenced his belief in the deity of the Son of God by asking the Lord what he must do. You read in the 6th verse of Acts 9. Yet this did not constitute the fullness of his calling upon the name of the Lord, or else he would already have been saved when Ananias came to him. Saul had already actively exhibited his penitent spirit during the 3 days in which he went without food and drank no water. Yet, he is still in his sins, he still has his sins, as revealed in this historical account of his conversion. Now, my friend, you must hear me. And I say, are you listening? Do you associate calling on the name of the Lord with baptism? Does your preacher associate calling on the name of the Lord with baptism? Ananias, a God-sent preacher to Saul, actually did connect baptism and the calling on the name of the Lord and salvation. Now follow me. Don't miss it. Saul was commanded to call upon the name of the Lord. How was he to execute this command? The Bible answers, listen. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name, on his name. Calling on the name of the Lord, if you please. May I say sincerely, if you have never been scripturally baptized, then you have not properly called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. If Saul had to be baptized in order to call upon the name of the Lord, then you and I must also be baptized into Christ in order to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You know that is right, don't you? It cannot be wrong. It is made very clear in the full account of Paul's conversion that calling upon the name of the Lord did not refer to prayer. The Bible states in Acts 9:11, "Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." Saul had already engaged in prayer before the arrival of Ananias, yet he was not saved when Ananias came. If prayer to the Lord is all that is involved in calling on the name of the Lord, as many honest people advocate, then why did not that constitute calling on the name of the Lord and his salvation before Ananias the preacher ever came with the message of salvation? The answer is obvious. Saul was not saved by calling on the name of the Lord until he completed his obedience to the command of the Lord, when he arose and was baptized as clearly taught by the God-sent preacher Ananias. Calling on the name of the Lord for Saul was just the same as it was for those in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It was gospel obedience for him. It was gospel obedience for them. As evidence of this scriptural conclusion, that calling on the name of the Lord is equal to obedience to the gospel, let us consider the divine statement already referred to in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. The inspired apostle declared, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard?" This very passage is set in a context that emphasizes obedience. Please observe that the acts of obedience in verses 14 and 15 of this passage are very clear. Verses 9 and 10 of this chapter emphasize belief and confession of faith in Christ. Romans 10:16 says, "But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings." This refers to gospel obedience, because the King James Version says in this verse, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." The Romans had been saved when they obeyed the doctrine of Christ. And you read that in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Listen. But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered. And being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Paul told the Romans in Romans 10:13 that they would be saved by calling on the name of the Lord. Yet the Romans were not saved until they obeyed the teaching of Christ, or until they reached the blood of Christ, where their sins were remitted by His atoning blood. Romans 6:3-4 states specifically that they were baptized into Christ, baptized into the death of Christ, thus saved from their sins. The Romans were saved when they called on the name of the Lord, but they were not saved until they obeyed the gospel of the Lord. Paul said that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Even after his initial gospel obedience, the Christian must continue to call upon the name of the Lord through faithful obedience to God's will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the apostle declared, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, even to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Here Paul is talking about Christians who call upon the name of the Lord. Christians call upon the name of the Lord by being faithful in all the requirements of the Lord. Please don't forget these words of our Lord when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Yes, men are saved by calling on the Lord, calling on the name of the Lord, by doing what the Lord requires.